At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." We will end our gospel there today. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'm focusing on just one section, and that's why I read that one section today. Please feel free, if you have not done so already, to take the Word of God home from the readings and study them throughout the week. I think that's a great exercise. George, I'm going to start with this, and it doesn't pertain to our George in any way. All right? Just start right from the beginning. But little George, children are wonderful, aren't they? They're so cute. Little George was in the nursery school program, and he was about ready to go into kindergarten. And the teacher was showing pictures of different birds. And she went through the different birds and, you know, the picture book, and the children loved it. And then she asked each child, what is your favorite bird? And she finally came to little George. And she asked, "George, what is your favorite bird?" And little George got all excited. He goes, "Fried chicken." Children are wonderful. Tommy, in his nursery school program in the Midwest, was in tears. All the children had left, and he was standing there at the door all by himself. His mother was outside honking, and he was in just absolute tears. The teacher asked, "What's the matter?"
"I can't find my shoes. They're not here."
And they looked everywhere, couldn't find them. But there was one single pair of shoes right by the door. And the teacher said, "These shoes have to be your shoes. They just have to be your shoes." And he goes, "No, they're not, because I had snow on my shoes." Children are wonderful. And this is one of the mythologies that we look at when we look at God's Word, and we end up going through Sunday school and we end up passing these stories down without stopping to think. To have the faith of a little child, yes? And we have this wonderful picture of children instantly in our minds. But let's stop for a minute and really ask ourselves, what does that statement mean? Bev, is the faith that you have in Jesus Christ better than what I have? Is it more than what I have? Is it less than what I have? Is the faith that you have in our Lord Jesus Christ less or more, better or worse than what I have?
I believe we were all given the same measure of faith.
What about hers? Still the same? If in doubt. What do you think? Yeah.
I think it can be a little different for different people.
All right. What do you think?
We don't know.
Good. What do you think? What about faith? Yeah, different people seem to have different levels of faith. And it looks like our text today, God's Word, seems to really talk about that. Yes? Not to mention, we come to Paul and we even get a little more confused, don't we? When I was a child, I thought as a child and acted as a child, but when I became an adult, I put away my childish ways. Yes? Okay. So now we're really confused. Okay, let's start from a basic point of view. Does any of us have our own faith in this room? Absolutely not. It's a gift from God, isn't it? And that faith is Christ Himself through the Holy Spirit, God. So you have less God than I have? You mean your God is this big and my God is this big? Or your God is this big and my God is this big? Yes, it is. The truth is the truth. I am the truth, the way, and the life. The truth is the truth. So do you have a little God and I have a big God? No. Because that faith doesn't belong to us. Beginning to see the serious issue here? If faith comes from God and it's a gift of God, does God give you less than He gives me? Or more for you than He gives me? Did Christ die on the cross less for me than He does for you? It's absolute. There's neither Greek nor Jew, male or female, slave or free. We are all one and equal in Christ. Why can I never speak against my brother or sister? Because Christ is in them. And Christ died for them, yes? And therefore, I actually blaspheme the blood of Jesus if I gossip about my brother or sister or make a criticism or find a complaint. Beginning to see where I'm going with this? And therefore, what are we talking about when Jesus says you need to have faith like a small child? Do you mean there's another type of faith? And I'm going to make the argument, yes, there is. First of all, let's look at the picture of children. Last Sunday, my grandson's Jonah's birthday celebration. And my daughter, beautiful daughter over there, has a special gift for her son, Jonah, of a big slide. They climb up on it, one of those plastic things, and slide down both ends. There's a little room at the top. Well, I'm sitting in the front room waiting because I know this is going to be fun. All these little kids are coming over. And they're going to have this monstrous slide in the front room. And I sat there as close as I could to that thing, waiting for the show to begin. And lo and behold, first kid jumps on it, climbs up to the top, and doesn't want to share it with any of the others. Started yelling and screaming when one of them started climbing up. And lo and behold, they started climbing up. And there was no choice. You had to tolerate the other kid being there. You could see it, but I don't want anything to do with that person. I see it in the church all the time. You know, see, people sit here, this pew, or people sit over there. Then they move places, and they go, oh, okay. Happens all the time. And there were two little girls who got into a tug of war over a toy, and we almost ended up with a big cat fight. And of course, as one little boy was trying to go down the slide, we had a bigger little girl trying to climb up the same slide. And then it was really great when they brought out the cars, the push cars, because then we had a freeway. Everybody had to be pushed, and everybody was yelling and screaming, and who was going to ride in the cars. So we have this picture of children being so loving, so angelic, You know, you go to the Vatican and you see these little naked fat babies everywhere. Oh! Well, you know, you never see a picture in the Vatican of a fat baby with wings pooping, but, you know, you just get this angelic, perfect picture. There's no such thing. Kids can be wonderful and beautiful. You know, it was really great because the last time we went to the, when I had time to spend at Santa Barbara with Jonah, Jonah now sits in my lap. He really knows me. And it's nice to have that cuddling there. That's a beautiful opportunity. And the opportunity to be with Caleb at any time, have fun with him. But there are other times when no matter how cute these little guys are, they're absolute monsters. They're terrors. Listen what Jesus is saying. And he takes one of these little children and he says to you, you need to be like this child. You need to have a faith like this child in order to enter the kingdom of God. And we have this mental picture of, oh, Deo mio. You know, and it's more like, oh, I want it. That's what it means to be a kid. Israel, 40 years in the desert. Might as well be in the back seat of a car. Are we there yet? How about Moses? Wine. How about the prophets? Wine. How about the disciples? Wine. Complain and wine. How about us? Wine, and complain. We are not angelic. We are not perfect. We're far from it. And Jesus says to us, hallelujah. This is who you are. We're obnoxious. We're stubborn. We want everything our way. We really don't want to work. We don't want to play, but we don't want to work. Now, if we think our play is work, that's okay, but if it's the other way around. And Jesus says to us today, I want you to be like little children. Jesus says to us today in our text, I want each and every person here to be a Lutheran in a voters' meeting. Arguing, complaining, being self-centered, demanding their way, my way or the highway. Isn't that what little children are? And that's what Jesus seems to be saying. See the picture? So wait a minute, let's stop. And we have two important things. One, if faith comes from God, then it's equal and the same for all of us. Two, God seems to be saying, be who you are. That's really bizarre. Because if you love someone, do you want to change them? I've shared this with you before. If you love someone, do you want to change them? If you want to change them, you don't love them. If you love someone, you embrace them where they are. And Jesus, our Lord, God, and Savior, died on the cross for us, what? While we were still enemies of God. Yes? He places righteousness on us. He sanctifies us and justifies us through His blood. But we're still sinners, aren't we? We're still less than perfect, aren't we? We're saved by declaration. We are justified because God says so in Jesus Christ, by faith in His Son. Well, wait a minute here. You mean that we're not supposed to have a special... You mean we're not supposed to be monks? We're not supposed to be nuns? We're not supposed to have certain rituals or traditions or customs? You mean we're not to do special things so everybody knows we're a Christian? You mean we're simply to love people and share the gospel with them? You mean we're simply to enjoy our lives and all the gifts that God has given us? Is that what we're supposed to do? And Jesus goes, yes! Because God is a good God and everything he gives us is good. Amen?
Amen.
Then what does Jesus mean when he says, for our faith to be the right faith, it needs to be the faith of a child? I'm going to make the argument for you to consider today that notice what he does not say. He does not say your faith needs to be like a teenager. Hey, you're laughing because I think the point's already well crossed, isn't it? Caleb over there, love you dearly, Caleb. My grandson, I love him dearly. And I do with all my heart. But you know what? He tries to get whatever he can, any way he can. And he negotiates and wheels and deals. And he knows what he wants. And he has a pretty good idea of how to get it from me. Matter of fact, I shared with you that our VBS program, my grandson Caleb over there and your grandson sitting over there, and they're both talking to each other, and I happen to be listening, and they said, yeah, isn't it great to be at Grandpa's house? Yeah, it's great. Because, yeah, they give us whatever we want. They're working it out. And he tries to do the same thing with his mother over there and with Nana on the other side. And little Jonah, his brother, is already doing it too. Manipulating and trying to get whatever he wants any way he can. Any way he can. But the difference between my grandson today and where he will be when he's a teenager is pretty radical. The difference is, when he becomes a teenager, he will try to get it for himself. He will try not to need his mother or father, his grandfather or his grandmother. He will try to do it himself. Caleb now and Jonah and children know they are dependent upon their mothers and fathers. It doesn't mean that they're good, doesn't mean they're holy, doesn't mean they're perfect, but they know they can only get what they need and want through their parents. All of a sudden, when they become teenagers, they start thinking, I don't need my mom and dad anymore. I'll get it myself. I'm free and independent. Don't need them anymore. I remember when I got my car when I was a teenager at 16. I slept in that car for 4 days because I don't need a home anymore. I'm free. And after 4 days, I went to my father and asked for $5 for gas. Jesus is saying to us that in our struggles with our sin, our selfishness, our insecurities, our fears, our anxieties, it's okay. He's going to embrace us and love us and hold us. And he knows that we're not defined by our sin, but we're defined by God's love from the cross. Amen.
Amen.
But he says clearly, always know that everything you have comes to you from God. You are always dependent upon him, and he's always there with you. He's walking with you. He's spending every moment with you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Fear not, for I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you orphans. I am with you always, even until the end of the ages. I am there. I will provide all that you need. Knock, and it will be open. Ask, and it will be given. Amen. It all comes from me, and you are never, ever on your own. The ultimate sin, the ultimate act of pride is to believe that you don't need God. Satan was created by God, yes? How, in any reasonable sense, could he think that he could take the throne of God and destroy God? Absolute insanity, isn't it? And therefore, if we think that we can walk alone without him, it is insane. Our sin is taken care of. It doesn't mean we go out and sin more, but our sin doesn't define us or limit us, doesn't restrict us. God's grace and God's love is always lifting us up and wanting to make us more and better and more wonderful and more capable. I have come to give you life and more abundantly than you've ever had it before. Amen. Trust in me. Listen to me. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the resurrection. This is what Jesus is saying when he says, your faith needs to be like that of a little child. The bottom line, the very, very foundation of faith is to know that all things, life itself, comes from God, and that we are never independent of him. That means we don't negotiate our position with him. We don't tell God, oh, tell you what, if you do this, then I'll do that. Or, you know, tell you what, if I light a candle, you'll do this. Or if I do this, you'll do that. Because everything belongs to him anyway. Is there anything that you have that hasn't been given to you? Is there anything you have that you can keep away from God? How many of you think you have life? How many of you think that life belongs to you? Have you been at our cemetery recently? It is a gift that must and will be returned to God. And there's a greater gift of life coming. Amen. What if you don't want from God? Are you going to get the best from the table? This is what Jesus is saying. Notice the disciples. What were they constantly doing? And notice this. Was Jesus talking to the little children when he was addressing this? Or was he talking to the adults? He's talking to the adults. Oh, you want to know who's the greatest? Here's the greatest. That child who knows he's dependent. Did Peter think he was dependent on God? No. What did he do when Jesus says, I must go to Jerusalem and die? Peter, what was the term used? Rebuked him. You idiot, you're not going to do that. So all of a sudden, Peter became the master of the master? Peter became wiser than Jesus? Do you see how insane that is? No, be like this child. Yes, you're going to have bad days. Yes, you're going to be upset. Yes, you're going to struggle. Yes, you're going to be an emotional basket case at times. Yes, I don't have a problem with that. I can handle it. My grace is sufficient. Amen. God's grace is sufficient. Amen. For our sin through Jesus Christ. Just know that all that you have and all that you are and all that you will ever be comes from God. And God is a good God, and he will never give you less than the very, very best. Amen.